This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We have about a half-filled house today. Chester and Fuller are here. Captain Ron's gone. Robert's not here. Otto is running late. So Mrs. P's gone. So it's just us boys down here in the basement.
And it's a national championship Tuesday morning.
I love it. Watched it last night.
Congratulations. Florida State. Women's national champions in soccer. Noles get it done in PKs.
Yep.
All you had to do is hang out to the end.
Well, you know, I was watching it last night, and I kept thinking about last year, right?
Yeah.
Legendary team, same deal.
Right.
And, man, they have a chance to close it. Now we go to penalty kicks. And I'm thinking, man, heaven forbid this happens again, back-to-back seasons. But it all comes down to this, boys and girls. Penalty PKs. Kicks. Florida State wins 4-3 in PKs.
Yep.
They win the national championship. They're third in the last 8 years. Only Florida State and North Carolina can claim that they've won three in a span of 8 years.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Got the Mark Emmert smoke for every time the PK goes through.
Yeah, there goes the budget.
Oh, look at there. And here's the winner, Julie Zhao.
Ball game.
Yep. Telling you now. Some kind of run this program gets.
And you know, my defensive player of the month in November?
Yes.
Was Miss Roquet?
That's correct.
Goalkeeper?
Mm-hmm. Sophomore from Orlando.
A zero. She was awesome.
Yep.
Got to play. I mean, great. It's all about great defense, man. I don't care what it is. You name the sport, you get right down to it, you got to have stops.
The win by the Noles means they are 22-1-2, and now the second most NCAA titles in the history of the sport, one of just two teams to ever win three titles in an eight-year span. Here's Kurt Weiler, who covers Florida State down in Tallahassee. They've won three of the last eight, been in five of the last nine NCAA championship matches, and have been in eight of the last 11 college cups. Just an unreal run that may not be ending anytime soon. Mark Krikorian, congratulations. Phenomenal coach, phenomenal program, and another natty for the ACC.
Commissioner Phillips was there, too.
Of course he was. He said he told us here Friday he was going to be there.
I got to tell you, there was a span Saturday night when it's 24-21 here in the Queen City.
Right.
I kept thinking, if this game goes into overtime, we're going to play that clip from Commissioner Phillips maybe every day on the show where he predicted the title game was going to OT.
Right, yeah.
I kept thinking it was 24-21, but, man, I'm happy for Florida State, especially after what those ladies endured last year where they had really a great team.
Yep.
That just didn't quite get it done in penalty kicks. And before getting an argument, how do you determine a national championship on penalty kicks? Hey, you knew that before you signed up. That's how they determine it. So for Florida State, man, that is strong.
Yep.
Really, really impressive.
So congratulations to the Seminoles on a national championship in dramatic fashion last night out in Santa Clara, ironically, winning over BYU. And
ACC's had good luck out there, man.
Sure have.
Florida State women, Clemson football, beating up on Alabama. They go out there, that West Coast, that's been a good deal.
There you go.
All
right. We left the show yesterday, right at the tail end, talking about a couple things. One, the potential of Mario Cristobal being the next head coach at Miami, and a decision was due sometime in the noon hour. And if you followed the chronology of yesterday, Mario Cristobal was, in fact, named the Miami head coach. Press conference at 10 o'clock this morning right here on ACC Network, and Mark and I will be here to guide you through that event down in Coral Gables. The other thing we were leaving you with was the net rankings were going to come out.
I am so excited. My mistress, the NCAA net, that is my mistress. I said that last week. We had, you know how much fun I had with FPI?
Yeah.
Now we go into BPI cum hoops.
That's it.
Nothing, man. I cheat on BPI.
With the net.
With the NCAA. That is my basketball mistress.
Yeah.
And boy, is it spectacularly awful. It's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It is so bad.
Net is acronym for something evaluation tool. Whatever.
Yeah, great.
So.
Awesome.
Duke is 10th in the very first edition of the net rankings. 7-1 this season of the Blue Devils. Now, here's the ACC in the net. Remember, hoops accounting is coming later in this hour. I love the music Alex has picked out for this. It's,
well, it's like
kind of one of those.
It's like going to the dentist. It's like going to the dentist office.
It's like a Glen Campbell guitar vocal type deal. All right, you see Carolina second at 26, Wake, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Virginia, Florida State, Clemson in the top 100. Then BC, Syracuse, Miami, NC State, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, and Pittsburgh. The 15 basketball playing members of the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Any issues with those? Just asking.
I don't know how in the world you would determine anybody's anything at this point.
Well, we're getting ready to determine the counting.
I'm well aware, and I'm here to tell you that I don't know how you determine anything at this point.
Sure you do. You pick 15, and you list them 1 through 15, and none of them will be right.
Right, but how much body of work do we have to determine this stuff?
We're at the quarter mark of the season. How much time you need, Durham?
No, we're not.
How much time you need? You need another couple months? You gonna come out with your first one in February? Well, come on, Durham. You got to get with the program, man.
An idea.
The NCAA net is out. What are you waiting on?
Well, apparently that's the guideline we all need.
I keep telling you, it's my mistress.
All the NCAA is attempting to do in this process, by the way, is give you an algorithm that the committee then uses when they get in that meeting room to determine the field of 68 in the NCAA tournament, or principally the at-large teams, because we all know the automatics are already there. So anyway, we'll dive into that as well coming up.
All right, wait a minute. So is there any – you didn't listen to the question. Of the 15 ACC teams, you saw the net rankings. Anything jump out?
I think NC State's a little better than 136 or whatever that is. I also believe, too, that
– You think there's nine
teams
better
than Duke? I think Duke's
better
than 10.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think
yeah.
there's – I think I don't think there's 10 teams, nine teams better than Duke.
I don't either. Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, 31-40, Louisville, 53. I have no idea. I mean, I've seen them play. I like Wake Forest. I thought they're winning Blacksburg. And Mike Young, by the way, with us at 8:30 this morning, the Hokies head basketball coach. I thought that was a fairly compelling college basketball game from understanding where these teams are.
All right, see that list right there, the 15?
Sure.
How different is that than your accounting? Is there a
the
team?
The top four are exactly the same.
All right, fair enough. So, but is there
well,
anybody
not the top
completely
four, back
whacked
the top
out?
Three are top exactly the same.
Is there anyone that's totally whacked out on that list right there versus your accounting?
Let's see. No, I've got NC State higher than they do. Probably have Miami's about the same. Florida State.
Right, so you're
probably
kinda,
Florida State's about the same.
You're kind of with the net a little bit, the mistress.
I got Louisville. I got Louisville fourth. Louisville's fifth. Okay, yeah, it's fine.
I'm going to just tell you this about the
we
mistress.
We got the back end right.
Let me tell you this about the mistress.
Okay.
The mistress. I'm not even going to call it the net. It's the mistress. They've got LSU number two in the country. LSU's number two in the country.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you. LSU is the number two team in the country, according to the net.
That's fascinating on so many levels. You know that, right?
Or as Brian Kelly calls it, LSU.
Can I tell you that's fascinating on so many levels?
Well, it's a pretty good
offer. Because the same organization that has LSU second is a press conference away from LSU not being eligible.
Well, I mean, you got to be penalized first. You've
been
investigated for 100 years, but you got to be penalized first.
Unbelievable.
So okay. That's why the mistress is a tremendous vehicle. If you want a good laugh, go to the NCAA net and just check it out. And Wes is right. The sample size is impossible, and we will prove that when we unveil accounting.
Yeah.
Because it's totally it's a David Cutcliffe dice roll is what it is.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, but LSU number two is almost laughable.
All right. Can I show you? I we have schools, though, that have concerning losses at this point.
No, there's no question about
okay.
that.
Okay. There are schools with quad three losses, and quad three losses
is bad.
Is not good. Quad one wins are very good. So here's the quad three losses. Louisville has them, Florida State, Clemson, Syracuse, Georgia Tech, and Pittsburgh has three in quad three. Schools with quad one wins. Duke has two. Wake one. Virginia Tech one. Louisville one. Virginia one. So, if you're going to – I mean, Syracuse is
Well, it's none of it.
1/17th in the rankings at 5-3.
You go win your. It's say the same thing during the football season. Just go win your games.
Yeah.
You know, right? You know, if you're Pitt, you know, you've gotten off to a lousy start.
Yeah.
And you let one get away at Virginia the other night, which is almost inexcusable how you lost that game. They got to win games. You know, Clemson's had three opportunities for nice W's, and they went LLL on all of them in the second half, big leads. You know who you are. You know you got to go win games. Right now, I'm only comfortable with about four teams, maybe five in this league, based on what I have seen. Doesn't mean that's what it's going to be. Doesn't mean that's what it's going to look like in March. But coming out of the block, there's about a handful of teams. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah.
And everybody else, hey, there's about 10 of you in this league that have a ton of work to do.
All right, the women,
you
by
agree
the way.
With that?
I do. Okay. I totally agree.
All right.
The women tell a very different story in their version of the net rankings. In fact, North Carolina is 2, NC State 3, Louisville 6. You see there are 6 in the top 20, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, and Duke.
That's more like it.
Georgia Tech and Florida State in the top 50. Wake Forest, BC, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Miami, Clemson, Virginia round out where the ACC women's basketball net rankings stand. Courtney Banghart, North Carolina, off to a very nice start,
yeah,
by the way.
There's some good storylines in the ACC on the women's side so far. So far.
By the way, Carolina ranked 2nd in the net is not in the women's AP top 25.
Well, why would we let that get in the way? I mean, where's LSU's men's team in the AP top 25 this week?
Right.
Just squeeze in there. 20, right there on the fringe.
Yeah.
25. But they're number 2 in the net.
Yep. There you go.
We got it.
So
the headquarters in Baton Rouge there for the net? Just ask. Brian Kelly get all the votes with his family.
There is nothing.
Tigers. He made Tigers a four-syllable word.
There is nothing in the last 6 months to a year that has taken a beating like that has. I mean a beating.
It's fantastic.
I mean, there are shows that have nothing to do with any of that making fun of that. Pack.
How do you got to laugh at it? Got to laugh at it.
Well, he does now.
I would hope so.
From Everett, Massachusetts, and sounds like he's from Nacogdoches.
Sound like a television evangelist. You'll be healed. What was going on down there?
All right, let me tell you who's on the show. Then we're going to go to break and we'll come back. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Andrea Adelson will be here. The latest on not only Mario Cristobal to Miami. Brent Venables leaving Clemson, introduced yesterday at Oklahoma as their head coach. Dabo's offensive coordinator, Tony Elliott. Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated reported last night Tony Elliott is no longer a candidate at Virginia. He is a candidate still in play, however, at Duke. It's been reported CBSSports.com said that George Edwards, who was a Duke assistant years ago and now is at the NFL level, is also a candidate for that head coaching job. We'll dive in with Andrea about that. Mike Young at 8:30, our old buddy, our old friend, friend for years, friend for tears, Seth Greenberg, 9 o'clock.
He's the guy that still owes me the bet from 3 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
And, yes, and at 9:30, Phil Jurkovec will
What's going to happen first? LSU will end up actually being ranked 2nd, or Seth Greenberg will pay off his bet. What happens first?
In Greenberg's mind, the bet has been paid.
He has not paid the bet off, not even close. Well, you know that. You should even say that because you know it's not even close to being accurate.
It's not even close. I know.
So what happens first? LSU?
I think Greenberg will pay. We'll have dinner one night and Greenberg will buy your steak. Yes.
What happens first? Brian Kelly can actually speak Cajun or Seth Greenberg actually pays off his bet?
Greenberg will buy you a steak.
No, not a steak, my steak.
Right, your steak, yes.
I picked the steak.
Yes, you're going to pick the steak. That's right.
He showed up with something that was barely dog food. He goes, oh, sorry, I paid all for it. No, just, man, dude, you eat it.
All right.
You eat it.
So there's where we are.
By the way, Dan Radakovich, well, do we have a Radakovich update? Is he a Clemson AD, a Miami AD? What are we doing there? What's going on?
I don't know. We do not have a...
Because didn't it seem
Andrea,
like it was...
Andrea will be here at 8 o'clock. I think we have a decision. My guess is this, okay? Dan Radakovich and Mario Cristobal are meeting at some point to talk.
Well, that would probably be a good idea.
That would be a good idea.
Call me crazy, but yeah. now that you hired a football coach, wouldn't it be a good idea to hire your AD? Just ask.
Right.
Normally, it's the other way around, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, by the way, a central figure in this, at the end, we'll talk about this on the other side, a central figure in this entire process with the University of Miami has been Rudy Fernandez, who is the chief of staff and senior vice president to Dr. Julio Frank, who is the president at the University of Miami.
By the way, long-time listener and viewer.
Sam Homewood.
Sam Homewood. We got your note. We got your Christmas gift.
Yes, sir, Sam.
Dog treats.
Always appreciate it.
Yep. Sam Homewood.
Yep.
Gave us some Christmas mix. He also threw in a wheat penny because he knows how much I collect wheat pennies. Sam, you're a good man.
You collect wheat pennies?
Yeah.
How many you got?
Lots.
Okay. Find out more and more about the Pac-Man, don't you, kids?
All kinds of stuff up my sleeve.
All right, we're off and running. Drew Brooks and Josh Macri are guiding this ship today through troubled waters.
There are no troubled waters on this show. None.
When we come back, Miami gets their man. Super Mario shirts are already being printed up in South Florida. We will talk about the hire of Cristobal to Coral Gables next. Packer and Durham on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network, friends.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Andrea Adelson will be our first guest coming up at the top of next hour. And, of course, big news down in Coral Gables. The Canes have found their man. Before we get to Mario, I would just like to say one thing. Manny Diaz on our show was tremendous. I wish that guy, and Wes, I speak for you on this one, I know, the very best. He went through a bunch of nonsense, I thought, down the stretch with this search. I mean, that was tough. That was really tough. The guy loves the school. I thought he did a tremendous job in the second half of the season. Miami has their directive. They want to get Mario Cristobal. They found their guy. They will pay handsomely for him, but that's the deal. In this day in college athletics, you want to go big time, you got to spend money. You have to, because you cannot backdoor your way into a championship, whether we're talking about conference, college football playoff, national championships, whatever the case may be. They put the bullseye on Mario Cristobal. They found their guy. But Manny Diaz, in the period of time that he was the head football coach at Miami, endured some tough times. We had some COVID issues, obviously, that everybody had to go through.
Right.
They're 2-4 in the middle of this season, going nowhere fast. TVD arrives on the scene. He's going to be a superstar. I thought Miami in the second half of the season really, really played good football.
Yeah. Mario Cristobal has been a head coach at Oregon. He's been a head coach at Florida International, I guess, right? Yeah. He's been an assistant coach at Miami and, good heavens, Alabama, Oregon, the whole nine yards, and he is clearly the next guy that Miami wanted. Rumored and now fact, done yesterday, announced yesterday, presser at 10 o'clock here on ACC Network. There's his dossier dating all the way back to when he finished his playing career and came back as a graduate assistant. So you get an idea, 51 years of age, another native of Miami, knows the program, the emotional tie of Coral Gables, the whole nine yards from Mario Cristobal. It was ugly. It was not clean in any way, shape, or form for the University of Miami. They're the ones that are going to have to answer to all that. And that's why I pointed out Dr. Frank and Rudy Fernandez, who's kind of this guy who I think's been at the front of this, along with Laurie Silvers, who it looks like from reading some of the reports is the current chair of the Board of Trustees. However, Cristobal does bring cachet of success. Now, you measure success in some different ways here, Pac. And I'm not saying you specifically. You can measure success in different ways. Oregon has been to the Pac-12 championship game, but the two losses this year, actually the three, are significant. Two of them to Utah. And the last one was an El Dorado again against the Utes.
Well, they weren't competitive against Utah, either game. They got blown out in Salt Lake City. They got embarrassed in the Pac-12 championship game. They've got a loss to Stanford. I don't know how you lose to this year's Stanford team, but they did. But nevertheless, the guy's got a great reputation as a recruiter. He's got the reputation of playing and building inside out, which I think is really important.
Correct.
In terms of your line play, offensive line, defensive line.
Yep.
Obviously, recruiting is not going to be an issue at Miami. You should be able to get great players there. Mario understands what that's all about. I think he'll be spectacular on that front. And he's got the quarterback. Keep telling you. TBD said yesterday, you know what? I'm playing for this guy. So if you're a Miami fan, hey, you got, quote unquote, your guy. And you paid for it, yep. Right? The buyout to Manny was extensive. The buyout of Mario at Oregon was extensive. The buyout and the new contract is big time. And, of course, you got to pay for assistance. So I give Miami credit. You know what? They're writing the check.
Yep.
Now we're going to find out, hey, how soon can you get a little return on your investment?
All right. Now, remember when all this conversation started and the cloud started darkening in around Manny Diaz, the figure being thrown out for all of this to happen, buyout, salary, infrastructure, all that was in the neighborhood of $22 million for all of this to occur, Pac. So
it's
there
gonna
you
be
go.
More, it's going to be obviously more than that. I mean, the buyout for Manny was $8 million. The buyout for Mario was $9 million. The $8 million per for his services, and then you got the staff issues. So, West Durham math, you can figure that out pretty quick. It's over 22. So,
yeah.
Bottom line is, it's an expensive business, and if you're going to win at the highest level, you've got to make that commitment. Miami obviously has made that kind of commitment, and I know their fan base. I keep going back. Hey, you got the quarterback. You got your guy. You're in a fertile recruiting base, always has been. Miami's used to winning championships, and now, tag, you are it.
Yep.
Got to go see it. Again, return on investment is going to be important here. How soon can Miami begin to start seeing the effects that, hey, guess what? We can win the Coastal. We can win the ACC. We should be in the conversation for the college football playoff. Wes, since we've been doing this radio show, now television,
yeah.
Said it 1,000 times if I said it once. There are certain schools in this league that have to be good.
Right.
Right? If yep. you want to change the quote-unquote narrative of what ACC football is all about, Clemson at 9-3 this year. When you're 9-3 and have a quote-unquote down year,
yep.
That's what your expectation level is when you have a down year. Good years, we expect Clemson to be good. Florida State has to be good. Miami has to be good. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech should be good. And if anybody else gets on a hot streak, whether it be NC State, North Carolina, Louisville, BC, Pitt, whatever, awesome. Join the party. That's got to happen for our league. Has to.
Well, and here's the other part about this, too. There is there's a little bit more than meets the eye to this because it appears, just saying it appears, that they're with this athletic director tie coming in, Dan Radakovich of Clemson reported to be the leading candidate to become the new athletic director. There is apparently a developing story about a possible on-campus football stadium or at least a stadium in Coral Gables. If you add that to then Cristobal's arrival, now all of a sudden, what do you have? You've got a lot of symmetry and a lot of synergy going on with the city of Coral Gables and the Miami Athletic Department.
Well, you know, buildings are one thing, but you win with people. Mm-hmm. I don't care where you are, Miami, Boston College, anywhere in between, Syracuse, doesn't matter. You win with people. And if you build it right, guess what? The Hard Rock, you can't get a ticket. If you're building one on state on campus, that's great. But if your team stinks, nobody's going anyhow.
Right.
So it's all about, hey, can you get dudes? Can you coach them up? Can you start winning games? And can the U become the U? That's right. The deal. All this other stuff is sidebar stuff.
Yeah.
Fantasyland with the stadium. Hey, whatever. You'll get to that. How about go get some teams that, you know what, Miami can become a national factor. That's the deal.
Yeah. Canes Access, by the way, was reporting that billionaire Miami booster John Ruiz is set to launch a campaign with the city of Coral Gables to potentially build a 50,000 seats football stadium on the site of Coral Gables High School. Now, David Lake of a website called Inside the U is the one that originally put that out there. But nonetheless, I just share that with you because there's all sorts of moving parts here with Miami. But to your point a moment ago, Mark, Miami is, and this sounds weird to say, Miami's getting in the football business, right? I mean, the money, the financials, all the things. Had we been misunderstanding the Miami commitment for a while? I think so, in some respect. They weren't putting the financials in it to match the other schools in some cases.
Well, you know what the bar is. You know what the bar is in your own league. I mean, if forget about Alabama being the national standard, you know what the bar is in your league.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? All you got to do is go to Clemson, South Carolina, and go check it out. Facilities, coaches' salaries, stadium upgrades, name it.
Yeah.
The band, your uniforms, the cleats, the slide. I mean, whatever you want. You know what the standard is in the league. So, hey, go for it. If you want to say we are in the football business, there you go. You don't have to look far.
Hmm.
I mean, you see these dudes every year. I mean, they don't technically because they're in another side of the division. Miami and Clemson, I think, ironically, I think they play next year, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, if Dan Radakovich turns out to become the athletic director at Miami, you're talking about somebody that knows the secret sauce. But I will say it again. It's all about the people. You can build all the buildings you want, but you got to have the right folks running the show. And for Miami's sake, they hope Mario Cristobal is the answer for football.
By the way, you're right. Miami visits Clemson next year.
Purely a guess.
All right. But you've been correct as well. It's important Miami be on the map here.
Has to be.
For this league. And here's the other thing, too. We talked about coaching power. Look, Cristobal, what, 35-13 at Miami? Or at Florigan, rather, as the head coach? Something like that? But you're getting a brand name as a head coach in this league. That helps this league.
Let me ask you something. You can give me all your Oregon numbers you want. Do you ever see them in the college football playoff?
No, sir.
All right. I'm going to stop the conversation right there. I'm going to stop it right there. That's where Miami wants to go. If Miami's talking about, hey, when you go down to Miami, and you've done a gazillion games down there,
yep.
They will remind you of how many times they won a national championship.
That's correct.
That is the barometer. That is the bar that Miami wants to get to. You know, conference championships are nice. It's good to have them, but that's not the standard. At Miami, they want to be a national championship power. And to do that, you've got to make a financial commitment. Your fans have to be in, and that's not talking about when you're winning, we jump on the bandwagon. That's also talking when you have hiccups, you still show up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's got to be in for that to happen. But can it be done at Miami? Yes, it can. We've seen it.
Well, looking forward to Mario Cristobal's comments coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. It'll follow Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network. When we come back, ACC's going to New York, specifically number 8's going to New York. Kenny Pickett announced last night as one of 4 finalists for the Heisman Trophy. This is, in my mind, a reward for a remarkable season for Kenny Pickett. We'll talk about it. Next, Packer and Durham continue.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday.
Oh, man.
I told Wes that our buddy Tim Bray, who celebrated a birthday, sent me a picture yesterday during the day. That he was down in the Bahamas.
Sure he was.
And he's working for NBC.
Yeah.
And he was with Tiger. And Tiger apparently was on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Tim, I said, if you had any guts about you, you'd have walked up to Tiger Woods, looked him right in the eye. Give me camera 3 a second here. You look Tiger Woods right in the eye and say, listen, I'm going to give you 6 aside and we're walking.
Awful. You're awful.
What do you mean I'm awful?
It's terrible.
How awful can you look Tiger Woods in the eye and say, terrible. I'm going to give you 6 aside?
Okay.
Go ahead with whatever you want to talk about.
Kenny Pickett going to New York.
Finally. About time. You think that somebody's going to finally hype him up there on the worldwide leader?
3 weeks ago, he wasn't on the list.
That's exactly my point.
Right.
Like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, hey, that dude from Pitt can really sling it. Yeah, no kidding.
Guess what happened Saturday night?
All year.
America
here
got to see him.
He's kicking the SEC's rear end.
Yep.
Guy's been good all year, man.
Yep, sure has. And Aiden Hutchinson, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, the other 3 finalists, going to New York with Kenny Two Gloves.
By the way, I got response yesterday afternoon on that play right there.
Yeah, I heard. I got several as well.
People loved it. And I'm like, I thought it was a great football play. And I know there's
some one way or the other, though.
I know there's some people out there that are really – I know Dave Clawson wasn't real thrilled with it. You know, said, hey, the NCAA ought to look at it. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Right.
Dude, that was a great play.
Yeah.
Right? He pulled it off.
Kenny Pickett joins an interesting list Here are the other Pitt players to finish in the top five of the Heisman voting. Tony Dorsett won it. Larry Fitzgerald. Okay. Craig Ironhead Hayward, the late Ironhead Hayward. Top five Heisman. 1987. Marino twice. Hugh Greene should have won it. 1980. Tony Dorsett twice. Marshall Goldberg.
He got screwed.
Marshall Goldberg.
Should have won it.
Well, you know, the voting. Back then, the voting.
Maybe sketchy. He did. I don't even know.
Yeah, sketchy.
I wouldn't know Marshall Goldberg if he knocked on my door in his prime with a box of pizzas. Would not know Marshall Goldberg.
The world-famous Packer and a box of pizzas.
Yep. Wouldn't know him.
But there's the list that Kenny Pickett joins.
Pretty strong.
Hugh Greene, man. Guy should have won it in 80.
That's why I go back and I keep harping on Pitt's history. When you go back through their history,
no doubt,
you start seeing the names that have played at that place, man. Yep. I'm telling you, Pitt's got some swag now.
Yeah,
they really do. It's hard to believe what you saw Saturday was their first outright conference championship.
Here's the other thing too. Devontae Smith won the award last year as a wide receiver, but outside of Derrick Henry, in this particular generation or decade, if you will, and change, it's been all quarterbacks. I mean, it's really become a quarterback award. Derrick Henry in 15, Devontae Smith in 20. But here are the other position players, non-quarterbacks, if you will, since 97. It's a quick list. Woodson in 97, Williams in 98, Ron Dane stole Joe Hamilton's in 99, Reggie Bush, Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, Devontae Smith. Now, Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end of Michigan, is the only non-quarterback in the list this year. Yes, sir.
I'm looking at the 1937 vote for the Heisman.
Oh, gosh.
Marshall Goldberg really got screwed. He finished third. Is that hard to believe? Clint Frank. Remember Clint Frank?
Yale.
How did he lose to Clint Frank?
Well, how do you lose to Supreme Court Judge Byron Whizzer White? No, now, wait a second. Here's the other problem.
Might have had some.
Marshall Goldberg in 1938 finished second to Davy O'Brien.
Whatever happened to Davy O'Brien?
They named an award after him.
Yeah. Rigged. This whole Heisman Trust thing. I'm telling you.
Dean Hill of Duke, by the way, finished 10th in the Heisman that year as an offensive lineman.
I'm thrilled, though, for Kenny Pickett.
Yes, so
to me, he represents in this new age of, hey, one and done, let me get my money and get out of here, transfer portal, instant access.
Right.
He represents everything that is good because, you know what, he could have gone that route, and he didn't.
That's
the fact that he decided that, you know what, Pitt's a good thing, college life's a good thing, I still can work on my skills and get better. As a player and as a leader, let me lead a team to victory, which he's done. To me, he's the kind of the poster child of what you want to see happen in this new modern age of college football where everybody wants to, hey, if I'm not starting, I'm out of here. Catch you later. I quit. See mm-hmm. ya. Man, he's the exact opposite. Good for him.
Yeah.
Easy guy to root for, like I said yesterday.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Quick note here with Cristobal's arrival in Miami. We kind of updated you on at least reports about the Duke vacancy. Here's a look at the Coastal Division and the coaching carousel, Mr. Packer. Not a lot of word. Remember, David Teal thought it would be pretty quick at Virginia, like the weekend potentially. That's not happened. So Virginia Tech, Brent Pry, Miami, Cristobal, Duke and Virginia still looking. Georgia Tech has named the new offensive coordinator, Chip Long, arriving from Tulane. And Pitt and Carolina having a very comfortable December, it sounds like, at least from a coaching standpoint.
So far,
yeah.
It's only December 7th.
That's right. Right?
Well, keep in mind, too, National Signing Day is next Wednesday. There's a lot of moving parts right now everywhere, whether you're putting together a staff, finishing ends on recruiting. There's a lot going on right now.
So you think after signing day, as we've seen customarily in the past, we could have some more changes?
We've seen it every year.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as you get that first class, and all of a sudden it's amazing how often you'll see a guy get kicked out or, hey, he's leaving, and happens all the time. So that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Point. All right. When we come back, you know what we're doing?
Yeah, I know what we're doing.
Hoops Accounting.
Piece of cake.
I'm going to get some more coffee. For Hoops Accounting, I'm getting more coffee. We're going to count them down. One is easy. The back end, unfortunately, is easy. The rest of it, sort it out next. Packer and Durham continuing on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget we got a basketball doubleheader for you on Friday night. We'll start on the women's side. Number 2 NC State and Elisa Cunane visiting Lance White's Pittsburgh Panther team at 6 o'clock. Then at 8, we'll send you to Derby City. DePaul and Louisville from the KFC Yum Center right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. One app and one tap. So, welcome back. Uh-oh. Taking the football down.
Football down.
Here it comes. Look at this.
New tote board.
Hoops, look at this.
Which includes Notre Dame.
Look at that. Huh? Right there, kids. Get a look at the stacks. So, there's the stacks. We found a way. We put the 7, and then number 1 is now on the top of the pyramid, right?
That's right.
Is that the way that's going to work?
That works. There you go. Very top.
All right. Now, for comparison's sake, here's what we're going to do. We're going to show you the net.
My mistress.
Yeah. That's a frightening thought.
All right. You see the numbers.
So here's the net that we showed you earlier in the hour. Duke, Carolina, Wake, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Virginia, top 6. Florida State, Clemson, Boston College, Syracuse. Then the last 5 are Miami, NC State, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh. All right. Got it? How you thinking? Feeling good?
I'm ready to roll.
All right, let's go.
I'm waiting on you. You're in your 19th cup of coffee. You need to get going. Let's do it. Let's get moving.
All right. Here's mine. Oh, boy. All right. So, for basketball, I started Duke, Carolina, Wake Forest, Louisville.
Tobacco Road bias right out of the gate for Wes.
Virginia Tech.
I can't believe you don't have NC State
fourth. Virginia, Syracuse, Florida State, Wolfpack, Miami, Clemson, Georgia Tech, Boston College, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh. That's mine.
Okay. I actually, got to be honest with you, I'm going to give you a sweet 16 because you know I'm not going just 15. I got to balance out the screen on television. Okay. I don't like that empty spot under Pitt.
All right.
Kind of naked up there.
All right.
So I'm going to give you a sweet 16.
Okay.
Ours aren't that far apart. Duke Carolina, I think, is 1-2. Then it gets kind of confusing. I mean, right. Louisville's had some goofy losses, but they did win at NC State.
Yeah.
I've been impressed with Wake Forest. Coach Forbes got off to a good start. Why? Because they beat the team while I got number 5, Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. I've liked the Hokies, too. You know, I jumped on the Syracuse bandwagon early. They've been kind of iffy at times, but they did beat Florida State, who's right behind him at 7. I think NC State's got potential at 8. Virginia, don't sure about the Hoos.
Nope.
Seriously, I just don't know about Virginia. Georgia Tech's been weird. Miami's coming off a win against Clemson. BC's gotten off to a good start. Coach Grant dancing in the locker room. He's undefeated in the league.
Yeah.
Clemson can't hold a lead in the second half. Notre Dame has stunk so far, and Pitt's been worse. 16, the sweet 16 spot, since it's basketball season. How about the Dr. Pepper two-handed chest pass contest that we watched nonstop during the college football weekend?
Oh, look, yeah. Nobody throws anymore. Have you noticed?
That's why, Wes, that's number 16. It's the two-handed chest pass. Tell you what.
100 grand for Jacob.
Ooh, the just tremendous form there.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
$100,000 worth.
Yeah, good to see Elle Duncan out of the studio.
Yeah, she probably enjoyed it.
Oh, it's not Elle Duncan? It looked like Elle Duncan.
I have no idea. All I know is my man Matt Schick was hosting it the other day, and I said they only allowed the professionals to come out there for the world championship two-handed chest pass competition. So that's sweet 16 for me this week.
You know, we ought to get Schick on to talk about the two-hand chest pass Dr. Pepper scholarship $100,000 deal.
If you want. He's a local.
Schick is local. Was allergic to dogs, and then he got one.
Seriously, this is
Georgia.
I know Dr. Pepper's writing a big check. I get it. And it's
100 grand for Jacob.
Or for all of them.
Yeah.
Who win it.
Pac-12.
But do we need to push this back like another 15 or 20 yards? I mean, seriously. What are we doing with that?
What would you do?
Are you listening today?
Yeah.
I just said, push this thing back 15 or 20 yards.
What would you do if you weren't throwing footballs into a Dr. Pepper bottle?
I think what we ought to do
is
that Bill Hancock should sit in one of those dunking booths, and we push this thing back 20 yards, and if any of these students can actually throw it and hit it, Bill Hancock gets dunked in a whole vat of Dr. Pepper. How about that?
Why is Bill Hancock going to be the guy?
It's the playoffs. Come on, Wes.
It could be Gary Barta.
You got to start thinking out of the box.
Can it be Gary Barta? Could be Gary Barta.
Gary Barta. Whoever's in charge. I don't care. Whatever. What we're doing now.
So your answer is now a dunking booth as opposed to throwing.
You take it back 20 feet and hey, throw it. You got to heave it.
You're a marketing genius, though, Pack.
What would you rather watch? The boring Dr. Pepper halftime bounce pass, chest pass from 6 yards out? Or do you want to see a real competition? Put them back to the 20-yard line. Put Bill Hancock or the committee chair in a Dunkin' booth, and if you hit the Dr. Pepper logo, bam, into the tub of Dr. Pepper they go, and you win $100,000. I'd watch that. What they're doing now is the most boring, who cares event in college football.
Kind of like Danny Morrison and the $10,000 mayonnaise dump.
Yeah, whatever makes you happy with that. Duke's mayonnaise. Whatever makes you happy.
Dr. Pepper vat. Bill Hancock and Gary Barton.
You would watch it. You would. Anytime you go to a fair,
yeah,
and you walk in by those things, and those guys are talking trash to you when you walk by,
yeah,
you can't wait to pork down $10 and say, "Hey, I'm slinging some fastballs at that moron." I tell you what, I'd do it. I'd do it and make fun of you. hey, dude from the SAE house. Yeah, that chest pass ain't going to work today, homie.
SAE.
Who do you think you are, Stetson Bennett? See if you can hit the dot. That's what I'd do. That would be entertaining. You can at least get people talking about what they're doing now. It's like, oh, is it boring? Chest pass from 8 yards out. Come on. Thing's had its time. It's gone. You know what? It's like the Culpepper Report. Got rid of him too, didn't we?
I was thinking that you ought to host the deal on the field.
I would be terrible. I told you, I am not a broadcaster. I don't want to do play-by-play.
No, I'm not talking
I don't
about
want to be the sideline guy.
All you got to do is introduce the people. And
I don't
go.
Want to do that either.
Because then hand them the check.
You know what? I wouldn't do a good job. You know why? Because I'd rag it. I'd make fun of it. I'd go, hey, congratulations,
really?
Susie.
I am shocked.
I'm glad you made $100,000.
I am shocked to hear you'd make fun of it.
Let's break down how you learned to throw the chest pass from 7 yards out. Come on.
Would you be killing the people that just participated?
I'd be happy for the student athlete, or in this particular case, the student, because it's not an athlete, to throw a chest pass 7 feet. Put somebody in a Dunkin' booth.
Oh, my God.
And you'll just, look, I mean, seriously. We do this every game. And you know what's the worst job in America? It's not Matt Schick there with the mic. It's the referee, like Australian rules football, that counts them.
Ugh. And he's wearing the gear, too.
Right.
He's got the gear on.
I'm surprised there isn't, hey, I'm not going to count that. Let's go under the hood and waste another 8 minutes to see if Jethro threw it through the hole. Thing's tired. It needs to move on. We need to update that. Just saying.
Well, it's good that Dr. Pepper's not a corporate sponsor of the college football playoff, and a proud partner of the ESPN family of networks.
Oh, that's all fine. Do they spend a dime on this show?
I don't know that.
I do. Okay. No, they don't.
They don't. Okay.
They don't. First time they got any love is when I put them on the Sweet 16 a second ago.
Okay.
That's it.
Two-inch espresso.
It's so boring. It is so boring.
Go. And the official in the full get-up's got to go.
Get that guy off the screen. Get him off the field, please. So tired.
Yeah.
It's boring. Yeah. Snoozer.
All right, you done?
I'm done. You got a thought?
You want to put the executive director of the college football playoff
in
a dunking booth.
Right.
And let somebody throw the ball
from
in 25 Indianapolis.
Yards out. I want to see
25
somebody,
yards out, and if they hit it,
I want to
the
see
executive
somebody,
director will fall into a vat of Dr. Pepper.
That's it.
Yeah.
You'd watch that.
And the chair, Gary Barta.
Whoever you want to put in there.
Well, you got to have two of them because you got put competitors.
I'd sit up there. I'd rag them to death.
You'd sit up there.
Hey, Bobby Bye. SAE boy. Yeah. Hum it in here, big man. Sucker. Ain't no way you're going to hit it.
From 25 yards out.
I've always been convinced that some of these...
be lucky to hit the tank, let alone the paddle.
If you could throw it to the end zone, I'll stick my toe in it. Come on. Where do we find some of these
Folks?
Well,
I think we were doing field goal contests until somebody did an ACL. Until somebody did a knee.
That was a terrible idea. Come on.
When you think about it, the object is to really award the money, isn't it?
Well, then just give them the money. How about this? How about we drop $100,000? Here's another idea. We drop $100,000 in cash from the upper deck, and it just floats down, and these students get 30 seconds to get as much money as they can.
On the field.
On the field.
Yeah. What about the people coming from the stands?
I would watch it. I would find that to be much more interesting than what we're doing with the... Come on. So tired. It is way past its time. Needs to go. Take it out back and shoot it.
Don't tear up the account. Oh, my gosh.
There goes the show.
Yeah, there's the show. 516 goes
there's
in the
budget.
When we come back, we're going to go visit with Andrea Adelson. She's fresh from storming the field in Cincinnati, by the way. I think she stormed the field with the Bearcats.
You know what? I talked to Coveted Invite yesterday on the radio show. Yeah, and she was out there, and she was worried about it until she realized they were bringing Luke Fickell to her.
Wow, how about that?
I said, you're somebody.
Yeah,
you're big time.
She's Coveted Invite.
That's right.
Andrea Adelson, who was also in the Queen City, the other one, on Saturday to watch the Bearcats. But she's here also to tell us about Cristobal to Miami and other news and notes involving the ACC with coaching vacancies and whatnot. Next on Packer and Durham. Good morning.
Packer and Durham.